So tonight I'd like to talk about loving awareness. And this term, loving awareness, keeps popping up in my life. In Buddhism, we hear the term loving kindness a lot. There's a practice called metta, loving kindness. But I've also been hearing Dharma teachers use the term loving awareness, as well as other spiritual teachers using the term loving awareness. And it's nothing new. This is a term that's been around for a long time, but it's new in my awareness. I've been just hearing it a lot, and I find myself really challenged by this idea of loving awareness. I feel like the awareness that I have feels very mindful-based, kind of in the head. And the love part really feels like it's centered in the heart. You know, if we spend a few moments just feeling into the heart, you can feel not right now necessarily, but you might feel like an emotional swell in that area. It's like the seat of our emotions. And so we could take a moment right now and just sort of feel into the heart. You might not feel anything, you don't need to force anything, but you also might notice a sensation. So I really want to explore and spend some time with the idea that maybe they're not two. Maybe they are one, loving awareness as one experience. But I question this. Like, how can awareness of the world translate into love for the world? Like, different discomforts that we might have in the world. I'm really, really scared of spiders. I don't like to be around them. I might notice them. I have a hard time loving them. I just sort of feel that repulsion when I experience a spider. That's changing over time, I'll have to say. Maybe I'll get to share a little bit of that. We'll see. But what about cruelty? Cruelty in the world. We were talking earlier about the shootings in Maine. How can I bring loving awareness to cruelties that we see in the world? And we all know that there is a lot, and there is a lot of suffering. How do I bring loving awareness into the world? So I realized my questions were a little too big. Like, how I bring loving awareness to the horrors that I see around me might be one step too far. Or like 20 steps too far. And I need to start small. Maybe even as small as a raisin. So, I think about this raisin meditation that I learned a number of years ago, where it was two of the Dharma teachers in this group, Kathy and Alan, who teach a community meditation group that I sat in on. And they shared a raisin meditation where you each get a raisin. Has anybody done this before? Yes. So many of you have had the experience of meditating with a raisin where you're very mindful of the raisin and you hold the raisin and you look at the raisin and then you slowly, you know, you notice all the contours of the raisin before you slowly put the raisin into your mouth. And then you feel the raisin in your mouth, and you notice the impulse to chew and the impulse to swallow, but you go really slow, really mindfully, until you have a full experience of a raisin. When I did this raisin meditation, I have to say, I felt so connected to the raisin that I had a hard time not feeling guilty about eating the raisin. Until I realized, like, that the raisin was now transforming into part of me. And so this was an experience of loving awareness where my awareness created a connection with that which I was aware of. And then a feeling of a heartfulness developed, a feeling developed. And so they are connected, the love and the awareness. So I could start with a raisin. And now I do have an incredible affection for raisins. I really don't like them, but when I eat them really mindfully, I love them. It's amazing. So in Buddhism, in Pali, the ancient language of the Buddha, of Buddhism, there's this concept for mind. There's a word for mind, and it's citta. But it doesn't translate as mind. It translates as heart mind in Pali. So there is actually no word for mind. It's only connected with heart. Buddhism doesn't limit the concept of the mind to cognitive or intellectual understanding. It encompasses an emotional, heart-based dimension as well. And when I apply the idea of citta, or heart-mind, to the unity of awareness and love, and contemplate how paying attention to even the tiniest things, like a raisin, can open my heart and cultivate the sense of affection, I start to recognize this interconnection of love and awareness. Awareness in Buddhism and in Pali isn't just an intellectual attribute. It possesses a heart-centered quality. So just take a moment to consider that our awareness can have this heart-centered quality. But then there's challenges. So the question becomes more complex when I ponder human behavior through the lens of the Buddhist's three poisons. The three poisons: greed, hatred or ill will, and delusion. How does being aware of someone else's greed equate to love? And you might notice there's an assumption in that question. Think about it for a second. I said, how does being aware of someone else's greed equate to love? That's assuming that I'm separate from that other. And that's one of the delusions that we make that leads to suffering. So just keeping in mind that some of the ways in which we contemplate these questions assumes that there's separation. And that's something to be explored, to be investigated, be looked at. But can I genuinely love those individuals whose hearts are consumed by hatred or delusion, like murderers? Can I do that? Recently, I came across a story about a middle-aged woman who committed a double homicide with the deluded aim of acquiring a hotel owned by the victims. Where does love fit into such a dark narrative? Unfortunately, the world is filled with countless horrifying acts perpetuated by humans against one another. And I'm speaking about this against the backdrop of tragic events. We talked about Maine, but tragic events unfolding in Israel and the Gaza Strip, where we're all aware of the extreme human suffering taking place, the Ukraine and other places. So, you know, this has been a struggle of many of us, ours. How do we bring love into the world, love into this world, when there is so much suffering and suffering perpetuated by violence? How do we do this? Around the year 2000. It's probably like, no, it was probably early 2000s, 2003, 2004. I went on a retreat with Eric Kovig, who's been a Dharma leader in this Sangha as well. He's a really incredible teacher, retired now from Vipassana teaching. And there's this moment in the retreat where groups, small groups, got to talk with the teacher and ask our questions. And I had this family member who was extremely cruel to his parents. I mean, really, really horrible and abusive. And at the same time, that person was really engaged in Buddhist and other spiritual teachings and readings, but was perpetuating violence, perpetrating violence. And I said, you know, I said to Eric, what can I do? You know, how can this be? And what can be done? And Eric said something really simple. He said, his karma is his karma. And that, like, shifted something inside of me, recognizing it wasn't my job to change this person, that this person was on his journey. And of course, if I was the witness of any kind of violence, it would be my responsibility to do something about that. But in terms of changing him as a human being, it was not my responsibility. My karma was my karma. His karma was his karma. His dharma is his dharma, his truth, his reality. And I was able to release the ill will that had been festering towards this person. And as in its place, I discovered a source of compassion. I recognized that the seeds that he was planting with his bitterness and his hostility would ultimately harm him. And I was saddened to realize that his life path, his path ahead, was bound to be a challenging one. The spiritual teacher Byron Katie found herself in a far more challenging situation when a man pointed a gun at her stomach, pulled the hammer back, and said, "I'm going to kill you." She explained her thought process in that moment, writing, "I ask him, as kindly as I can, not to do it. I don't tell him that it's his suffering I'm thinking of." This is a form of love, expressing compassion in the face of another's suffering. And we can recognize that even the most hideous things that others do are driven by tremendous suffering, and that greed, hatred, and delusion are all forms of suffering. And they're a painful cycle that repeat themselves. And when we feed into that, we become part of that cycle too. So bringing loving awareness to suffering that leads someone to behave harmfully doesn't imply that we condone the negative actions of others. What I feel like it does is it highlights the various facets of love that can emerge through heightened awareness. When we're aware, we can bring that heightened awareness to focus on, you know, our hearts, and what do our hearts need to do in that moment. There's a tenderness that surfaces upon recognizing the inherent preciousness of life in all of its forms, even in creatures that make our skin crawl, like spiders. And I really do love them now. I have this tenderness towards them. I mean, I can't be by them, but I do love them. I could tell you stories about my strong love of spiders, even though I can't be anywhere near them. Then there's the compassion that wells up as we acknowledge that destructive behavior is rooted in suffering and perpetuates a cycle of pain that can span one's entire life and generations to come. We are in a moment where we are bearing witness to intergenerational violence in all kinds of forms. And some of us are really bearing those scars of intergenerational violence. And we can sit and be aware of that experience and be with it. And that is part of what these teachings are sharing with us, is to be with our experience and let ourselves emerge. Let the experiences that are emerging within us bring us into our full humanity. So there are many facets to loving awareness. One I've been talking about is compassion. Another one is gratitude. As we cultivate awareness, we realize the countless blessings that surround us daily. It could be as simple as the warmth of the sun on our skin, or the laughter of a child, or even the simple act of breathing becomes a source of gratitude. It's a love for life's myriad gifts, both small and significant. Acceptance is another facet. It also finds its place in the heart-mind. Through awareness, we come to understand that resistance often leads to suffering. Acceptance is the love that arises when we acknowledge reality as it is, without judgment, and find peace in the midst of life's inevitable challenges. I mean, can we walk in peace? Can we bring love and awareness in the midst of the challenges? Because that is a gift. I mean, that is a gift that we can bring to ourselves and to others. So as I contemplate these many different facets, I begin to recognize loving awareness as some of the highest expressions of humanity. Tenderness, compassion, empathy, gratitude, acceptance, hope, forgiveness, kindness, generosity, resilience, patience, courage, joy, altruism, integrity, creativity, wisdom, humility, trust. I mean, the list goes on and on. And we can delve into meditative reflections on the loving awareness that infuses each of those qualities. So I want to just kind of, I've said a lot. I want to do a little summary of some key takeaways that maybe I'll leave you with. One is awareness and love are interconnected. The apparent difference between awareness and love can be bridged by recognizing that they're not separate entities. Loving awareness is the unification of our cognitive understanding and emotional compassion. It's the understanding that awareness possesses a heart-centered quality, and this recognition can transform how we relate to the world around us. Another key takeaway, compassion is a fruit of understanding. When we understand the motivations, when we understand the conditions, I mean, in Buddhism, we really talk a lot about conditions, the conditions that co-arise with any behavior. We can begin to form a sense of compassion, standing in the face of the pain and the suffering of others and feeling that heart quiver. We call it like a quivering heart in the face of suffering. And then we can take action based from that place. That's wise action. When we're centered in love and awareness, we can take wise action and seek to alleviate suffering. And loving awareness is multifaceted. It isn't limited to one emotion or action. All of those tenderness, gratitude, compassion, acceptance, all hope, these are just a few facets. And exploring that can help us uncover the richness of loving awareness and that connection. So there's ways we can all explore loving awareness in our personal lives. I'll just say some questions, and then I'd like to do a short loving awareness, loving kindness meditation. So, question: how can I cultivate loving awareness in my daily interactions and experiences? Notice the challenges. In what situations or relationships do I find it most challenging to practice loving awareness? Just noticing where the challenges are. What practices or techniques can help me deepen an embodied understanding of loving awareness? And I like to use the term embodied because we can have intellectual understanding. And that's good. That's important. I'm a university professor. I appreciate the intellectual, but embodied understanding goes deep, really, really deep. And it's a whole nother form of understanding. So what kind of practices and techniques can help us deepen that embodied understanding of loving awareness? All right, I'd like to close with a loving kindness metta guided meditation. And this really connects because in metta loving kindness meditation, we'll say some words to ourselves. And that's the mind and mindful awareness. But the heart gets engaged too. We'll focus as well on the expansion and the feeling within our hearts. So it bridges love and awareness together into one practice. So I invite everybody to close their eyes if you feel comfortable, or avert your gaze and get comfortable in your body, noticing your breath, grounding yourself in the present moment and in your bodies. And bring your attention into the area of your heart. Sometimes it helps to put your hand on your heart. And bring your attention into that heart space. Notice any feelings that you might have there. You don't have to conjure anything up. If you don't feel anything, that's okay too. And bring into your mind, heart, something that brings you warmth and a feeling of kindness. Could be a pet, a loved one. It could be a place, some place where you just always feel good and warm and safe. And we begin this practice by offering wishes of well-being and freedom to ourselves. And I'll use some phrases, but in your own practice, just you can use whatever phrases work for you. And to yourself, after I say these phrases, you can just say them to yourself and feel them. May I be free from suffering. May I be warm and tender. May I have ease and well-being. May I be free from suffering. And extending our hearts yet further, connecting with all the people online and in this room, practicing together, and wishing each other well, letting our hearts extend to each other. May we be free from suffering. May we touch joy and peace. May we be warm and tender. May we have ease of well-being. May we be free. Letting our hearts extend into ever larger circles, bring to heart and mind those who are near and dear to you. Wishing them well. May they be free from suffering. May they be warm and tender. May they have ease of well-being. May they be free. Let our hearts expand further to friends and acquaintances. And yet further to our community, all the different communities that you're a part of, to these lands and the people and the beings who live on these lands. May they be free from suffering. May they touch joy and peace. May they be warm and tender. May they have ease of well-being. May they be free. And recognizing that there's deep suffering throughout the world, connecting and holding space for those people and those beings, expanding our hearts, to those who perpetuate or perpetrate violence, recognizing that they too are suffering. And wishing well-being and freedom from that suffering. May all beings be free from suffering. May we all know joy and peace. May all beings be warm and tender. May we all have ease of well-being. May all beings be free.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org. www.loveawareness.org/donate.